Mike is behaving strangely. Travis knows this foul mood well. The most profound headache of his life, Napier, has been asked to join them.
Because I should have known better than to invite him.
Let's just have a little talk.
Gonna be a long one, Travis.
Yeah, really trying to.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by the albino alligator, the king of pranks, my reliable co-host, my good friend, the only one I have left in this world, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Happy President's Day, everybody.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. And Travis, you know it is a very special month.
Hashtag podcast month.
February is podcast month on the program. And so we enjoy having our peers with us so that we can shoot the shit, discuss podcasting as a whole. One of my favorites, Travis, Brett of the Hot Butter Podcast is with us tonight.
Good evening.
Brett, it's going to be a weird one. I give you that in advance. It's going to be a weird one.
I expect nothing less.
Brett, the intro, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense now, Brett. But when your co-host tells you at 7:40 when the show starts at 8 o'clock, that he's not coming, don't have much time to change things, you know, the plan is the plan.
Well, this is, you got to break it down, though. This was we're referring to Napier, obviously, who had put himself on a hiatus. He had to take some time off, and this was the week he was going to make his triumphant return, but only for this week. He was going to come back this week and put himself back on hiatus until further notice.
And so, Travis, all of our Napier topics, we got to get out this week because it's the one week that Napier is peeking his head out.
Right. We were gonna hit all of the key Napier points this week. I think it was like, hey, we were excited. He's going to be back. It's going to be the whole crew. We're gonna do a classic WFOD. It's been a handful of weeks since we've been able to do that.
I was excited about it, Travis. I wasn't gonna lie. I was excited to talk to my old pal Napes. I'll tell you, since me and Napier's little tiff, haven't really talked to him. And yesterday he told us that he was gonna come back and do the program. And all day today, it's really strange when you have a big argument with a fella and you haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks. And, your argument is primarily about his inconsistencies and, being unreliable and kind of a dick. And after weeks of not talking to him, what did he tell me, Travis? He said that me and him should go into business together and open a pizza restaurant.
Yeah, he was pissed off at, like, Pizza Hut. They don't put top cheese in their pizza. And he said, hey, man, we did this for, like, 7+ years apiece. We could, you know, we could make some money. It takes, like, $1.50 to make a $10 pizza. Let's do this. Let's go into business.
What's he want to do? Chef-created recipes?
Yeah, he wants chef-inspired pizzas. And I guess I'm the front man. You know, I'm gonna go out front and take orders, and Napier can.
Well, you're the voice of the people. You're going to be like Rocky Balboa was in the newest Rocky movie, where he's just kind of the face of the restaurant. Like, he's not making anything. You're out there meeting and greeting the public. Like, you're the face of the community.
In the chat, Travis, Michelle says, "Don't you dare do that, Mike." Like, she's going to talk me out of it. Because I was really considering going into business with Napier.
It was brought up. I cannot believe you didn't say, do you really think I would go into business with you? You can't even show up at my house from week to week to do a podcast.
Well, Travis, I mean, I was saving it for tonight.
Right.
I wasn't going to play my hand early.
Right.
I think my reply was something along the lines of, that sounds very interesting, Napier. You and I should discuss that tonight.
What does he have, the crud? Come on.
No, it's better.
Let me read his response verbatim. Like this, I mean, like Mike said, it was all the way up until 7:30 tonight.
It was 7:35.
7:39 or 7:35. We got a message saying, I'm going to bitch out. Me and the wife are watching Netflix. So I'm going to do that before bed.
Yeah, you got to block that number.
Brett, I've done every childish thing I could think to do. I have unfriended him on Facebook. I removed him from any groups that I'm associated with. Brett, I've washed my hands of Mike Napier. So if you were holding out hope, everybody, that Napier was coming back, forget it.
I got to be honest. I never suspected for a second he was coming back. After your last interaction, I really believed he was done. I didn't get the vibe from him that he even wanted to anymore. You can sort of hear that from some people, you know.
See, Brett, yeah, you've had that feeling lately that you don't want to do it anymore.
I did, yeah, and I don't know if people could hear it in my voice, but yeah, I just, you know, you get burnt out, especially if it wasn't something that was yours, your baby to begin with. I mean, this was mine, my show is. But I mean, if it really wasn't his show, like his passion, I mean, it's really easy to get burnt out, especially if you got a lot of stuff going on.
But I can see me getting burnt out, Brett, because I am the one putting all the work in.
I don't know. I don't believe that.
But what in the world would he get burnt out about? He has to show up for an hour a week. And then all his work buddies, they talk about how cool he is. Oh, Napier, it's so cool that, you know, you did that podcast. We love the podcast. All his work buddies listen to his Napier karaoke's. They pass him around. They think he's a big hit.
People saying that you know, they need something to get out of the house, so they join like a pool or a dart league, and then like a season or two into it, like halfway through, they're just like disgusted that they have to go to this goddamn pool league every week.
me and men's league hockey. Yeah. That's what I did.
Why did I do this?
Wait a minute. You want $400 for ice time, but the goalie doesn't show up the games after 10? No thanks. I'm not paying.
See, Brett, the roller hockey's a lot cheaper, Brett. Roller hockey.
I think anything's cheaper.
$100 a session. It's great.
You should have known that from being a kid playing hockey, though, right? Well, maybe your parents didn't disclose that, but even like I know plenty of parents that have their kids in hockey, and they say it's like the most expensive thing you could possibly have your kid in.
Yeah, I didn't know till I was probably 17 or 18 exactly what my parents were paying. And now as a man with kids, I'm like, my kids are not playing hockey. This is
not a chance. We have some friends that are, their kids are one of their boys in hockey. And not only are they out of town literally every week, like staying out of town and for tournaments and shit, but the amount of money they spend just on like gear, I'm like, not a fucking chance my boy is ever. Oh, he can play football.
You get your kid into soccer. Soccer's probably really cheap. They can play it pretty much anywhere. You get your kids into basketball. All you need is a pair of shoes, really.
But I think even that, I think these days, the schools sort of have a certain amount of money that they put towards the individual sports, but then they're asking these kids, you guys might have even talked about it on the show, these parents are still forking over hundreds and hundreds of dollars for top of the line cleats, top of the line Umbro shorts. You know what I mean? Like, it's still incredibly expensive for a sport where you run and kick a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is, because most of the time too, they're doing it with other schools outside of the district. So you're traveling and you're in hotels every weekend, spending money on hotels and shit. And it's just like nothing is reasonable anymore. And long gone are the days of like play it again sports, at least in my area, where you could like go pick up some used shit and then trade in your other stuff to get like a bigger size. Like that just doesn't happen anymore.
There are two within 30 minutes of me. Only one has a decent selection of hockey equipment. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you're buying brand new sticks at minimum $80 a pop. Who can do that?
Yeah, that's insane.
Brett, do you by chance live a BDSM lifestyle so we could ask you questions about it? Because
yes.
Napier's wife dropped the bombshell on us last week that they dabbled in BDSM.
What? Hey, man, I missed out. I was off premises last week. Travis, I'm not familiar with this.
I want to know all about it. I want to know like what they did. I want to know if he was the dom. I want to know if they used hand cake. Hand
he was
cuffs.
Sub.
You think he was the sub? I imagine he was probably the sub.
She on top, and I imagine she choked him while she rode him until he could. It was blue, dark red, or blue in the face. He's a sub for sure.
Do you think that that he like said yes, mistress, to her when she asked? She commanded him to do things.
Yes. She probably used derogatory terms towards him.
Like called him a maggot?
Little bitch boy, probably.
Little bitch guessing. Boy, make me dinner?
Yeah.
In your little tidy whities?
Yeah.
Sing me a karaoke while I ass fuck you with this strap on, you little bitch.
I want you to gag on the heel of this high heel. Choke on.
So he called a couple of months ago. He brought up the landfill that was on fire and full of nuclear waste. And I just thought it was Napier exaggerating the way he does.
Well, that exists.
But there was an HBO documentary about the atomic waste landfill that's on fire. And it made me think of him because he had talked about it. And I had just, see, that's the problem is when you know somebody who just constantly lies, when they actually tell you something that's truthful, you don't believe it. And so, like, you're in this weird vortex where I see now what all the distrust and everything is and why everybody's so paranoid about the media and stuff. It's like, you know, fool me once, fool me, not get fooled again. You know what I mean?
I do.
I'm flustered.
You know, I went to a show. I took my wife to a show. I mentioned it last week on my show. And I took my wife to a thing in Detroit called the Dirty Show. Are you familiar with something in your area that maybe is a nude art expo or?
No, no.
Is that all it was? Was it performance art or was it just like
a little bit of both?
Like pieces? Oh, really?
Yeah. So all the walls and then, all around the floor, there were kiosks of erotic art of all types. And there was also a stage set up for a burlesque show, and there were cage dancers and pole dancers, and there was a daddy hole leather club in the back you could go to. I didn't go, but you could go to.
Why wouldn't you?
What is the cover charge on something like this?
The tickets were $30.
That's not bad.
No, and it was fascinating. Like, My brother, I was talking to Adam about it, my brother, and he was, I think he's concerned. He acts like he's super conservative, but he talks otherwise. So anyway, he seems like it's maybe this bizarre type of thing to go to, but the art is incredible. The people watching is incredible. And if people just open their minds a little bit and just went out on a limb and tried something different, that's some cool shit.
So when you go to something like that, I mean, are you part of the show? Like when you go see Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight, like do you dress up like one of the characters and throw bread at the screen?
So one of those interactive experiences where you can like be part of the burlesque show and shit?
Yeah, like there were a lot of women like that was their excuse to dress in that weird outfit that they have. But I mean, I didn't. But there were a lot of people dressed like that, yeah, for sure.
Was your wife into this, or did you drag her to this?
My wife loves this.
Really?
And so that was my – and we hadn't gone in a little while, and it's – you know, we needed a date night, so I got it for her almost at Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day.
That's a late Thanksgiving. That's fun.
It is. It is.
So you go to this thing, I guess you just dress as a normal person, and you just go to observe?
You look at pictures of – some dudes, you know, do it in the butt or sucking each other off, or like they had this incredible selection of pictures of very close up black and white shots of naked women's body parts. But they were strategically placed, and they had little, almost like little figurines doing things on their body. So like there was a little man cutting the grass down by her pubic hair, you know, and it was whole wide array of these different shots of little figurines doing things on the naked body. Just things you would never think of, but things that were really entertaining. It was just a really good time.
So
you guys have a pretty good sex life then, if you're going to this kind of shit together, huh?
I mean, it's fine.
Okay. I was just curious because, you know, when you have your mind open to these kind of things, you would think that you'd be more apt to speak about, you know, your intimate times. And I know a lot of people don't at all. It just kind of happens and you go through the motions. And I figured since you're taking your wife to a fun little thing like this, that maybe it's good times. And I was going to ask you for secrets, but you know, if it's fine, I'll ask elsewhere.
You're asking Brett how you can spice things up, Travis?
Yeah, I was looking, I was waiting for the segment on his show. And now that it's back, congratulations. Are you coming back full time, or was that the one off thing?
I think we'll come back full time, but I don't think we're going to want to guarantee that it's on Wednesdays.
Sure.
Adam is still really busy. I mean, the baby's only a couple months old. I think he's still trying to find his rhythm, but I think we're going to do it again this week, probably Wednesday.
And so, I mean, what was the decision? Did people pressure you into it, or were you missing it?
A lot of peer pressure. I was moping around the house. My wife was like, you know, you need to get back and do something with your. I'm not kidding. I'm not playing hockey. I'm not going to the gym. I'm getting fat, probably. I wasn't podcasting. I wasn't working in the barn.
Are you in a funk? Are you in a funk right now? A winter funk?
Yeah, I was in a winter funk.
A lot of people don't know what that's like if you don't live in up in the north or in the Midwest. Like there's definitely funk time where things get maybe not full blown depression, because I don't want to make light of that, but there definitely is a lack of sunlight that does really change your mode of thinking.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, Travis, the thing that was so weird about Brett's quitting podcasting was,
is that it was an abrupt quit.
It was very abrupt, Travis. Like the day after they made the decision, I don't want to podcast anymore. Like he just went in and like deleted all their shit. Just like everything was gone.
Like a normal show, right? Like it was a good show. It was like a normal week to week show. And then it was like the next day, it was like, fuck this.
Right. I mean, the Twitter's gone, and he had like a Facebook group that was Hot Butter Podcast Fans or something. You know, everybody like posts a funny meme on there, and then like 20 people comment on it and talk about the Boner Brothers and stuff. He has a pretty good following. He had his Facebook group, and he just left the Facebook group. He made himself not the moderator and just disappeared. He's just like, I'm leaving the Facebook group. You guys figure it out yourself.
Listen, I commit. When I do something, I commit. I'm all in. I'm either all in podcasting or I'm all the fuck out.
So I hear.
Sounds like Mike with friendships. You're either in or you're out.
Travis.
And it's gone.
In my defense, I stuck with that way longer than I should have. But I'm done now. I'm done. I'm blocking everything. Don't contact me. I'm done with you. But, but yeah, he just quit the Facebook moderator group. And then I hear from, you know, a mutual friend, that Jody B fella. He goes, "Hey, did you hear Hot Butter Podcast is gone?" And I thought, "Oh, well, I'm in the Hot Friends of Hot Butter Podcast Facebook group. I'll go see what's going on." And I go to the group and it says, "Hey, this group doesn't have a moderator anymore. Do you want to be the moderator?"
It must have done some algorithm where it was like, "Listen, this guy is a moderator to a lot of shit. So, 7 Twitter profiles."
So, of course, I graciously accept. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. And then I was the moderator of the Fans of Hot Butter Podcast Facebook group.
So that sort of inspired me to make a change in my life. You're a yes guy. When someone asks you a question, the answer is yes and. So I've always been a no, probably not guy.
You think of me as being very optimistic, Brett. I'm willing to try new things.
You're a yes man. You yes, and then you figure it out. I've always been a nah. I don't know.
I do nothing. I don't do things.
Accepted the moderator position on our Facebook.
Brett, which should have been a longer con than that.
The only reason
really
to
bad
do
that,
that
you only were the moderator for like 15 minutes
was to be vindictive. I mean, it wasn't out of any like aspirations to one day own a Friends of Hot Butter Podcast Facebook group. I did it because I wanted to fuck with you.
Which anybody can do. If you wanted to open up another group called Friends or Fans of Hot Butter, you can do that. Anybody can do that.
Travis, I'll tell you what. I've gone to GoDaddy like 4 or 5 times, and I've gotten to the checkout screen to buy hotbutterpodcast.com like 5 times.
I was going to say, it's probably like $8.
It's like $11.99, Travis. It costs nothing. Yeah. And I want it so bad, but I just can't justify spending $11.99 on a
You just have it redirect to our website.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going
to
do.
That's good to know, because that was our website for a while and I accidentally let it lapse. And then once they realize that is a sought after, address, they're going to butt fuck you for it.
Jacked the price up super quick.
In the chat, Matt like Leroy is offering to pay for half of it. Deal.
Oh, nice.
Well, it'll just go to, I guess it'll go to strangelabel.com if I'm getting.
So the bottom line is I'm now a yes guy. I feel like if I say yes to more things, I'm going to have more experiences, obviously, and I'll have more things to talk about, which will help make our show happen on a more consistent basis. Cause I wasn't doing anything and therefore I had nothing to talk about. So when I was trying to get content together, I was just mad.
Well,
you never know too with that. Yes, man. You know, you might end up on the back of a moped with Zooey Deschanel.
You're right.
Fun thing about this medium, Brett, is if you're not having fun doing it the way you're doing it, you can just do it a totally different way.
But see, I was waiting so long to prepare that I was rushing it. And so then I hadn't had a chance to really think or try to be creative. And so I was forcing the same old thing. And it was making us nuts.
Yeah, I get that.
I know people wanted the same old thing.
And it's weird because I totally get where you're coming from with all of it because, I mean, I know it, Travis, me and you both struggle with all the time. You know, we go like, you know, why are we even doing this?
Yes, fairly often.
We go through
usually a couple of episodes that rejuvenate us and we're like, oh yeah, that's right. We can do anything we want.
Yeah, we go through weeks and weeks where we're like, God, I hate doing this, and then like you know you turn the corner, and it's weird. It's a weird thing that we do.
And I think when you do come back from it after you are so frustrated and so kind of lost with the thing, when you do come back, you have like kind of a little bit more of a spark underneath you, and it kind of shows. And you feel it a little bit differently, you know, even if it only lasts for like a month or two and you're back in that same spot. I think every time you have those lapses and like, oh, I just this fucking chore. I do think it ultimately comes out best. And I think that, you know, Brett's right. Like, yes, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. If you have an idea, let's do it. And I think that's the only way you can be successful. And really, last, you know, like we've had this conversation already, you know, the last handful of episodes is like, not a lot of people stick with it because if you're not, you know, reinventing yourself every so often, it's just stale and who wants to do it, let alone listen.
Yep. We were going to a concert and we were sitting down having some beers, Adam and I, before we went to the show, and said that exact same thing. If it's stale for us, it's stale for other people too.
And so, you know, that's a weird thing too, Brett, because I don't even necessarily know if that's true, because some of the episodes that we get the best feedback from are the ones that I hate. And yeah, I just feel like had nothing. I feel like nothing and we were just running on steams. And that's the one that I get the really nice email about, where people are like, you know, yeah, hey man, I thought that one was really good. And I was like, why?
Maybe because it's genuine. Because you were having a genuine conversation instead of some creative, extravagant, you know,
right,
presentation of something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I just like different things than the people who listen to the thing I make.
You like different things than the people who gravitate towards you.
And that's probably true, Travis, because, like, you know, our show in its genesis has changed a lot. I mean, if you listen to things that me and Napier were talking about in 2010, 2011. I mean, every show was just like a whole bunch of rape jokes because, you know, when we were 25 or whatever, we thought that shit was funny. And now it's something completely different and we're like interviewing weird people and like making a whole goddamn production out of it instead of just sitting in my living room holding my microphone in my hand, talking about pussy farts and stuff.
Well, and even since I've been on what, going on 4 years now, like this, if you go back and listen to my first handful of episodes, like this show is completely different than it was when I first came on. And even when I was listening, you know, those handful of months before I was part of the show. And I don't know, I think you do have to evolve, and you evolve with the times. Any kind of media is going to change with the times and with age. And your audience is either into it or they say, oh, that fucking Korn is still playing the same bullshit that they were playing back in 2010. I'm not listening to that shit anymore.
Brett, I guess the question that I really have for you is, do you want to form an alliance?
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
I had to expect that.
Brett, I'm really excited.
Brett, let me ask you a question.
Yes, Mike.
You work in an industry, without getting too specific, you... Mm-hmm. Oversee the construction of like restaurants and stuff. That's what you do.
Correct.
Brett, why are they changing all of the McDonald's to look like maximum security prisons?
I guess I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Brett,
I don't either.
Talking inside or outside?
Outside. All the McDonald's used to look like
slats, a lot of it's very European looking.
It's like a dark gray.
Yeah.
It looks very almost like a bank kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks very structurally sound. You know what I mean? It's like a,
yeah.
It looks secure.
I don't know exactly why that is the design du jour, but it is. You know, we do it. We have everything is very square.
Is it meant to make it look more professional? Are they going for sleeker,
yes,
cool,
to make it look clean?
Look? Like, hey, right, this
that
is
way
a
it
cool
can all look
place?
Like everything can look like a dentist office.
Right. Right.
And you go into McDonald's and they have like a, you know, fun little like bars that you can sit on, bar stools and sit at. And ain't nobody sitting at those bars. They're just there to look cool.
Do you go into your fast food establishments, or do you drive through typically?
I rarely go in, but
that's what
sometimes,
I'm thinking. I very rarely go in.
Sometimes
I go in
too.
With the children if we take them to like McDonald's just because they got the fucking Playland.
And see,
they
that's the thing,
there.
Travis. It seems like they're getting away from the Playlands. And I think that the only people that go into McDonald's are going in there to sit down and, you know, enjoy a nice glass of iced tea and let your kids run off some of their energy in their play place.
Well, they're also, if you've been into McDonald's, like most of the time too, because they offer free Wi-Fi, you got a lot of people sitting in there drinking coffee, watching Fox News, which is usually what's on the television. It's not Fox News or CNN. They're using the Wi-Fi, probably, you know, commenting on Facebook about how fucking our country is going down the tubes and everybody should get their guns taken away, or vice versa. something political and bullshitty, but they're using the Wi-Fi so they can post on their Facebook page, I think. You see a lot of older gentlemen and a coffee clutch of old ladies sitting there sipping coffee in front of the TV on their phones.
Yep. I noticed a lot of people that go into McDonald's to sit down are generally speaking, older.
Yeah.
A generation or two older than I am. So I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the reason for that is. I just think a lot of restaurants like to freshen it up every so often, and they have trying to think of the right word, but they basically have an expiration date on their design. So every 5 years, every 10 years, they got to do a refresh,
so that it stays with the times. It doesn't look outdated.
So it doesn't get lost in the. So you don't drive past it.
Are they going to make a Ronald McDonald like more emo and
with a man bun?
Give him a.
Give him a red man bun.
Red man bun and maybe some clam digger pants, you know, that don't go all, they already don't go all the way down.
Some of those tan sandals that are like a, you know, they got like a full toe but like no back.
Yeah.
And a thumb ring.
Yeah. And an ironic fanny pack.
Yeah.
Listening to fucking what's that, Iron and Wine or whatever the fuck that is.
With a tattoo, like a neck tattoo.
But something really weird like mom.
Yeah.
So, guys, I feel really bad about the Napier thing because I know people like Napier. I like Napier. I enjoyed all the things that Napier did when Napier was good a couple of years ago. Right now I have ill will, but for the most part I don't. I think Napier's a quality gentleman. I wish him the luck, but I just don't want to talk to him ever again. So, I'm sorry if you're bummed out. I'm sorry if people, drop off because they want to hear, Napier's hot takes on things, but I'm not going to do it anymore, guys. I'm just not going to. So, if you send me, I miss Napier tweets, I'll reply. I miss Napier too. But yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. We're done. Cause I want to be prepared, want to do the best I can. And when I'm finding out 20 minutes before the show that, you know, somebody that I had a lot of plans for isn't coming anymore because he'd rather watch Netflix with his wife, I don't need that shit anymore because it's not productive. It's not going to make anything any better. And That's what I'm here for, Brett. Constant improvement. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And you've got to consider your own self, worth and your own feelings as well. If people aren't putting a value to that, your time and your worth, then it's not worth it to you.
And I'm forming new alliances. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you are.
Yes. So that's what you got to do. You got to constantly form new alliances. So.
I don't know if you know this, but we only get one opportunity, one life. So we should really, you know, seize every moment.
Is that you shouting out Eminem from Detroit?
Not intentionally, but.
Mom, you know. Spaghetti, Brett?
Yeah. I don't like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Oh, well, too bad. It's on your sweater already.
You know, I have some questions for you guys.
Ooh. You want to do them after break when Drunk's here?
Yeah. You're the boss.
Brett, we're going to go to break.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to your questions. Brett, let's do your questions.
Nah, let's go on break.
Brett, we're going to go to break. Guys, we're sponsored this week by the good folks at camsoda.com. They call themselves today's digital strip club, but when you go to camsoda.com, that's CAMSODA.com, what you're going to see is thousands of gals just dildoing the bejesus out of themselves. As professionals and amateurs, I saw a big wall of gals to choose from. It was wild. Use our special link, camsoda.com/podcast, for a free trial. They give you some funny money to toss around like you're a big shot. Totally free to try. No rebilling or anything like that. Gales wailing away on each other 24/7. CamSoda.com /podcast, camsoda.com/podcast. You tell them the dick sent you.
I don't know, Lana. I think the mouth is enough.
Do it, Robbie.
Strangely, we like all the same pop culture bullshit that you like.
If you enjoyed Tony X's tweets during the Stanley Cup playoffs,
this is the first time I've ever watched hockey, and this bleep has been lit for these first 45 seconds.
Or Leslie Jones' coverage of the 2016 Olympics.
Man, look at that shit, man. Look how fast they're going, man. That's crazy as hell.
Then you'll love the new hit show from Spike. Black people reacting to stuff.
Hey, yo, son, this Gavin DeGraw shit is dope. Get that motherfucking dang shit. What up with that pumpkin spice latte, girl?
That's right. If there's a thing you don't expect black people to enjoy, they may just surprise you. Black people reacting to stuff. Coming soon from Spike.
When I step up in the place, say yo, I step correct.
Ooh.
To all the jet, I got that head nod shit that make you break your neck.
Ooh.
To all the jet, then you know we come through to wreck the discotheque.
Ooh.
To all the jet, throw your hands up in the air, don't ever disrespect.
Ooh.
To all the jet, bust the rhymes up in the place, the true indeed.
Prepare yourselves. Once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Just wanted to point out that I picked this song before I knew that the Napier thing was happening. In case anybody was thinking I was glum, not really. Fine. This was a bad song choice considering the circumstances. Makes it seem like I'm bummed out. You know what it should be? Did you guys hear, Fergie do the national anthem?
No.
Oh, me neither. Brett. I hear a lot of people talking about it, though.
Brett. It's everywhere. I think I saw somebody tweet RIP Fergie, which means that's not good.
Brett. Yeah, Wheeler Walker. Yeah, Wheeler Walker Jr. tweeted that out.
She does like a sexy jazz version of the national anthem. Can you guys hear this?
Yes. It's probably not the best time in this country to be taking liberties with the national anthem.
It was at the NBA All-Star game, and they're going to all the NBA guys standing there watching her, and they're all trying not to laugh. Like, it's so funny to see people laughing at a gal singing the national anthem. There's a couple times that she really goes for it.
A lot of people think, listen, that's not the song to mess with, right? That's our national anthem.
What do you think, people?
Me, I don't care.
I don't either.
You don't think it's kind of sexy, guys?
She's trying to make it sexy. I saw her her public message about this thing. Was that she, you know, she takes chances at an artist, and she was trying to do her best for those NBA players.
She really went for it. Yeah, I mean, you can't say she didn't go for it.
But this is not not like an old jazz standard that she should be taking those liberties with. Like I said, I don't give a you know, I still like Roseanne Barr's national anthem from that Cubs game or whatever the hell that was. Well, like, I'm into it.
In her defense, Travis, what the fuck are you asking Roseanne Barr to sing the national anthem?
Exactly.
Oh, here it comes. The crescendo.
Cheers. That's too big of a pause.
Oh, here it comes. Travis, you ready?
You know what that was?
Basketball.
That pause was the smoke weed every day pause. You could never get that.
That was probably, you're probably right. That's the same
beat. Hey.
Smoke
weed every day.
Oh, shit.
It's a weird timing. You're never going to get it.
Yeah, you try it 100 times, you'll never get it.
Smoke weed every day.
You know, I watched that show that she was on, The Four, and it was fucking garbage. But we watched the whole thing. Like, we kept watching it over and over again. And it's funny because the premise of the show is there's four people that are in chairs, and they're the best four. And people come to challenge the four. And if you're good enough, if the guest judges or the judges, they say you're good enough, you get to challenge one of the four. And you shouldn't be able to beat one of the four because the four are so goddamn good. But every time somebody challenges the four, they win. And so there was no consistency on the four. I mean, the four were constantly changing. And it was really well or badly done. And Fergie was the host of that, and she was really over the top. Like, she really tried to just sell everything, and it was too much. She just way overdid it.
Well, she's trying to get back into the highest floor in that ivory tower that she was in when the Black Eyed Peas took over for that summer, you know, when Fergie was the top of the pops until she peed her pants on stage and then kind of fell off the radar. I think she's just trying to recapture that.
Do you think that she told someone, listen, I'm going to take some risks in this, and they approved it? Or do you think the NBA said, listen, we need ratings, do whatever you want, because all press is good press.
Well, it's all this. It always, they always, you know, they do this beforehand. It's not like it's the first time she sang at that venue. Like,
yeah, I mean, they had to hire a guy to play the upright bass.
Right. There's rehearsals for these things. So everybody knew what she was going to do because she probably just that day probably sang that six times.
That's a good point. Well, I don't know.
So what is our pizza shop going to have, Travis, that is different than all the other pizza shops? How are we going to stand out? How are we?
Oh, I don't want to make pizza.
Yeah, me neither. I have no interest in going into the restaurant business.
I got it. You're going to rent. You're going to have a lease space, very small, narrow, like a cell phone store. Okay. And you're going to, when customers walk in, you're going to have a counter as though they were going to order, and there will be a menu. Okay. And behind the sneeze guard, which you would have up to protect your fresh ingredients so that people don't sneeze their goddamn fucking swine flu on your food, you're going to have words, okay? Just little pieces of paper with ingredients written on them. You're going to put it in a little bag, and you're going to give it to them, and they're going to take that bag of ingredients home, and they're going to make it themselves. So you have absolutely no dough. You have absolutely no produce, but you have people there who pick through words, put them together, and let those people take them home and cook them.
And then they pay you. Like, what is, so like, well, how, is there like a base cost and then you charge per topping?
So you're paying for like the chef's inspiration.
Yes. It's a chef created pizza recipe.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to have all the ingredients ahead of time and also make it themselves.
Right. I mean, they could go to the store on their way home. That's up to them.
That's true. You could almost, even if you partnered with local grocers, you could have like scan bars.
There you go.
Right on the pieces of paper. So, you know, they take it in, they go up to the front counter, they do the scanny thing, and somebody brings their groceries right to the front of the store.
A lot of people don't know this, but Adam and I at Hot Butter Podcast, we are food truck crazy. We have so many great ideas for food trucks and restaurants. I'm telling you, this is something people aren't doing. Like Travis said, I didn't even think about that. You go in right next to a Kroger or a Piggly Wiggly, and you scan it while you're in the pizza store. You walk next door to the Piggly Wiggly, and you get your bag of ingredients. You take it home, cook it yourself.
So the food truck's really just for show, and you just got a couple big screens in there so you hang out.
That was just me plugging our own shit. We got a food truck called Yoki Doki. Well, we'll make anything egg-related you ask, no matter what. The answer is always Yoki Doki.
Oh, so you say, hey, I want eggs with some gummy bears in it, and you say Yoki Doki, and you go Yoki get Doki. Some...
And then we also have the Boner Brothers, which is all foods with bones in them. So wings, pork chop, T-bone, anything, rib, pork rib, beef rib, all foods with ribs served on the food truck, the Boner Brothers.
See, at my work, they used to bring the food trucks all the time, and I loved the food trucks because it was always pretty good, and it was right there, and I didn't have to go anywhere. But I'm very rarely in, like, the cool happening place where the food trucks go. I avoid large crowds, and I feel like, you know, the whole business model of the food truck is to go to where there's crowds.
You got to start saying yes more.
You just gotta watch that John Favreau movie, that chef movie, like, you know, 15, 16 times.
Oh, I've seen it, and everything he makes looks good. That was a fun movie. It's not a movie that you'd ever watch more than once.
No.
But yeah, it was a good movie, and everything he made.
Unless you're
really
researching,
good.
You know, developing your own food truck, then you might want to watch it.
That movie was really just kind of like food porn, wasn't it? Like the whole time you watch it, you're just like, oh God, everything he's making looks really good. It's a very loose plot just so that you could watch a bunch of food getting made.
Yeah, they pretended like there was some like weird, like, you know, he didn't see his kid very often subplot, but really it was everything that made Jon Favreau what he was in Iron Man to what, you know, from what he was in Swingers. So it was like the decade and a half of food that he consumed. He just wanted to show you that in an hour and a half movie.
In the chat, we have Napier is going to tell you your pizza will be ready in 10 minutes, but it'll be ready. It really take an hour. We got sorry I was going to deliver your pizza, but my wife wanted to watch Netflix. So Napier's pizza restaurant, I don't think it would have good customer satisfaction. He does not give a fuck.
Hey, listen, we're getting pretty far away from this Cam Soda thing, and I don't want to forget to bring this up.
Okay. So, oh, yeah, that's right, Brett. You have questions.
Oh, hey, that's today's digital strip club, if you didn't know.
Charles, the really funny thing, I saw on the Twitter, you didn't see it because you blocked the guy who mentioned it, but the guy said to me that he thought that Cam Soda was like a joke sponsor. Like, it wasn't legit, and, you know, it was like one of our bits. But
is that why people aren't clicking on our sponsors? Like, no, MyBookie and shit?
No, people click on the sponsors. Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to have a disclaimer before the commercial to let you know that it's not a joke bit. But, I mean, what's funny about it? See, like, our joke bits, they usually have, like, a punchline, right? They're funny. They're supposed to be, anyway. I mean... And, you know, the Cam Soda thing, like, I was giving out web addresses and telling you to go look at naked ladies. We did
buy TaylorSwift.horse, right?
Travis, I don't think people get our humor.
I guess not.
Maybe we're just not funny.
Earlier, I'm laughing, so I guess it's all that matters.
Anchor referred to us as a comedy podcast, but he put comedy podcast in quotes. That's not a good sign. Brett, you have questions.
Well, specifically in regards to internet pornography, you know, it is everywhere. It's humongous today. You know, it's a fine way for young ladies to pay for college. It's a fine way for lots of young ladies and young men to generate revenue and to pay their bills. Do you, either of you, know anybody in any facet that does internet pornography?
No, but let me tell you how easy – Mike, you answer the question too. Do you know anybody?
No, I don't. I think Dave Harvey from the Lotus Cast, like, gets on things and, like, watches – lets people watch him jerk off. I think he's done that before. I think they've talked about that. They might not, but
– What kind of money would that bring in?
I don't know if he's necessarily doing it for money or if he's just doing it for funsies.
Oh, for shits and giggles? Well, yeah it's got to be revenue. There's got to be revenue inclined. Brett, do you know somebody? Is that why you're asking?
Well, okay, so since my wife is never going to listen to this, I may as well just – I'm going to tickle something here, and then I'll tell you guys we're not recording because I don't want to give too much away. I may.
Brett, we are recording this. Just in case, so you know.
But I'm not going to give the full story. I may have recently found somebody or put some pieces of this puzzle together where I know somebody whose daughter does it.
Oh. Like somebody your age who has a daughter old enough to be in?
No. Someone older than me who has a daughter who's probably a little bit younger than me.
Oh, now, is this something you would ever bring up to that person and say, hey, what's your daughter doing lately?
No. That's a conversation that I've had is like, first of all,
it's your boss.
We're getting a call. Should I answer the call?
It's probably Napier.
It's probably drunk.
Answer the call.
I'm answering the call. I don't know if I necessarily drunk.
That's why we have the number.
Drunk, is that you?
This is drunk.
Okay, drunk. It's a bad week to be calling from random numbers. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I got out of work, tried making it to the podcast, and the fucking road to get to your house is closed. So I got to take the long way.
Oh, so you're just calling us to tell us that you're not coming?
No. I'm calling to, like, try to be part of the show and whatnot.
Drunk Brett from the Hot Butter Podcast is with us.
Hi, Drunk.
I've been doing a little bit of listening. Hey, Brett, how are you doing today?
Good.
Drunk, do you know anybody who's made pornography before?
I do not.
Oh, no, you can't talk about just making porn. I've made pornography, but it's not online for people to see.
So here's the thing. I don't actually know the person that's doing it, but I was able to sort of through Facebook meandering discover pictures. And then I saw a picture and I thought, holy shit, I've seen that person before. Where have I seen that person? And I'm like, holy shit, I've seen them sticking things in their puss on Twitter.
Oh.
And that's when I realized I know somebody whose daughter does internet pornography.
Did you immediately Facebook Messenger that person and say, hey, are you the, you know, dildo banging 666 on Twitter?
No, there's no question it is.
Now, Brett, here's the thing, and this is probably when we get into dicey area here. This is probably not the question I should be asking you if you're worried about this. Like with that taboo, that makes it sexier, right? That makes
you
more attracted to the videos. Just because
I also have this part of me that says these two people that I know are so kind and sweet. How can I prevent my daughter from doing that?
Oh man.
Because I have a daughter who is 7, and one of these days I'm not going to know what's going on because of the technology, you know, is going to get past me and I'm going to be an old man who isn't willing to admit.
You can get those like iPhone clones and those Android clones and shit, so you can see every single thing your kid is doing on their piece of technology. And they never have to know.
Now, Brett, I'm not a father myself, but I'm thinking about it from both angles. And on one hand, I think if you're the cool dad.
Pun intended there, by the way.
Really?
What was the?
Both angles.
Oh. See, if you're the cool dad.
From the front and the back.
Brett. Then I think that, you know, you give the idea that your kid, has more of like an open mind to trying wacky things. But I think if you're the dick dad, the overprotective dad, then she rebels. So I think you got to find like a happy medium there. I think it's both ways. You look at it both ways, and in either way, you could fuck it all up.
Well, and I think the thing about the kind people is they've probably never had certain conversations with their kid when they were growing up where, you know, you don't discuss those taboo subjects and then the kid explores it for themselves. Whereas if you want to be not a dick and also kind of open to things and have that happy medium, you do have to have those conversations with your kids at some point. You know, you can't just be like, well, I guess they'll figure it out. You know, they seem nice enough. They won't do any thing fucked up. Like, you just have to like keep in contact with your kids always and be like, what are you up to? You know, anything weird happening? Tell me about this. Tell me about that. Let's discuss, you know, I'm open. And you would hope that those conversations would pop up before, you know, obviously, hopefully your daughter would never come to you and say, hey, what do you think about me doing online porn? You know, but
it's like, hey, Dad, if you're looking at titties online, you might want to stop.
Yeah. You maybe want to stay away from this website or this website.
Right.
All I got to say is good luck, Brett.
Thank you. I appreciate
good
it.
Good luck to you.
Got to navigate these waters here.
Yeah. Well, that's why you got to bring it up to the parents and say, hey, what did you guys do wrong that your daughter is
is a reflection on
now comes quick.
Drunk, did you see the Atomic Homefront documentary about our neighborhood?
You were on the messenger about it last night, and I was going to get to it, but I fell asleep.
Drunk,
so I think I'm going to get to it sometime this week.
In the first 3 minutes of the movie, they show Coke Park, which for people that aren't me and Drunk, Coke Park is like a minute from here. I could walk to Coke Park without sweating.
You could hit a driver and hit Coke Park, basically.
And this is a documentary about how this creek that I grew up playing around in with my friends.
I definitely also played around in said creek, Coldwater Creek.
It has radioactive waste in it. That was the leftovers from the stuff that we bombed the Japos. They brought it all here. They built their bombs and then they dumped it in a landfill. And then all that stuff seeped out into the creeks. And like, throughout the documentary, like they're going and doing like radioactive tests in people's basements. And they're like, oh yeah, you got all this stuff that we used to bomb the Japos. And this is like my neighborhood. There's HBO documentaries about how I'm going to get cancer soon.
Now you know what it feels like.
Isn't said landfill also on fire and might be
Yeah. They throughout the documentary, they're going, oh yeah, there's a fire in the landfill. And it's getting closer and closer to the nuclear active waste. And we don't really know what's going to happen when it hits it. And they're talking about
shoulder shrug.
they're having these meetings and the documentary takes place in 2016. And they say at the end of the documentary, they haven't done shit about it since this documentary was made. And they're talking about like building barriers to keep the fire from the nuclear waste. And everybody's just saying, it's fine. Don't worry about it, guys. And I think this is going to be like, it's so weird when you think about like the thing in Flint and how all those people probably knew that shit was fucked up. I mean, you know, they knew that their water was kind of weird, but they just figured that there's no way that anybody's going to fuck up that badly that it's going to make us sick. There's no way, but like when you watch this documentary and you see that it's right here and you're like, oh, fuck, they don't give a fuck about us.
If there's money to be made or money to be lost, you don't mean shit. So now you know what it feels like to be those people where they're doing all that natural gas fracking. And if they turn on their faucet, they can like light a propane fire right out of their faucet. Like that's the same kind of shit.
I mean, this lady goes down in her basement and this guy does these tests in her basement and they listed like 7 things that are in her basement that like only come from like the Congo. And it's like super rare shit that like she should be glowing because she's been living in this house with all this shit. And then they cut to her 2 years later, still living in the same house. I mean, you'd think that they'd be like, oh, well, obviously we gotta, you know, get you a U-Haul truck, lady. You go move somewhere else because your house is.
How do you sell that house if everybody knows that you have radiation?
Right, we were just on HBO, like Drunk. What do we do now?
Those documentary filmmakers have no money. They're just trying to shed some light on it, so they're not going to be able to like give her some money to be like, oh, hey, you should probably get out of here. We'll pay for you to live somewhere else.
We can't even dupe anybody.
I mean, I work 30 seconds from that landfill. And let me tell you what, that landfill smells a lot more ripe than the other landfills in St. Louis. And every day that I drive by that thing, I'm like, is today going to be the day that I blow up at work because of this stupid landfill?
But I'd say that I'd say that if you're a loyal Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program listener, you should probably check out Atomic Homefront. I think it's free. If you don't have HBO, I think there's ways to see it for free. If I find it, I'll post it on our Facebook page. But check it out and just think the whole time, oh, that's where Mike lives. He's going to be glowing soon. And I'm going to get the brain tumors, and then I'm going to say, I should have moved, guys. But I'm probably not going to move.
If you were going to move, you would have moved years ago when your neighborhood was abandoned, when your neighbor's dumpster was ticking, when the can of green beans flew at your house, when your town was on fire.
It was peas.
Yeah,
when there was riots next door,
and when they were burning the Quick Trips to the ground. Like, there's so many things that should have made you move already. So I don't think you're going anywhere.
Is Mike actually Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, it's like a Gran Torino.
From Gran Torino. Torino. Super racist.
Yeah,
but also add in
go back to Hmong.
Also add in the nuclear element. Which wasn't discussed before.
Like half Clint Eastwood and half Snake Plissken.
Drunk, I have a question for you. I was going to ask you when you got here, but are you not? You're not coming.
I'm nearly here. I'll be there.
Okay. Well, can I ask you now?
You can.
So that I know if you answer wrong, I could just lock the door and cut you out of my life too. Drunk.
Sure.
Do you want to form an alliance?
With me and you?
Yeah.
Against who?
You've been watching way too much Big Brother.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll form an alliance with you. I mean, you might have a little bit of the big mouth and go sharing my secrets, but I'll form an alliance with you.
Drunk, what secrets do you have?
Well, I mean, Big Brother secrets are different than regular secrets.
Drunk,
so.
Tell me your secrets.
Generally, it's who you're talking about. Can't be talking shit on this person or thinking you're gonna
drunk. Have you ever
give
them dabbled
the old back door?
Have you ever dabbled in a BDSM lifestyle?
I have not dabbled. No.
Did any of you happen to go prove that you weren't a racist this weekend?
I wasn't able to get out. I took the kids sledding, and we had some other things going on, so I wasn't able to prove my white guilt.
Travis, I went to the movie theater to prove I wasn't a racist. And I checked in on MoviePass, and I went up to the box office, and I said, I want two for Black Panther. And I was getting there a half hour early, and he said, the guy laughed at me. And he said, yeah, we don't have any then. I think we were going at 5:30. He said, I can check some of the later ones. He checked all of the screenings up until 8:45, and all of them were sold out, Travis.
Which is pretty early. Like, I mean, 5:30, like, you would think you'd be able to get a seat in that joint. That's like Star Wars shit. When I went and saw Last Jedi, and I showed up on a Saturday or Sunday, and we were at, like, the 11 o'clock show, and I showed up at, like, 10:15, and I was lucky I did because there was just enough seats for us, me and the two kids, to sit down. Like, that's some crazy shit.
I got up this morning and I said to my wife, I said, hey,
my wife,
I said, hey, we should go have lunch and then maybe we should go prove that we're not racist. And she said, okay, but before we do all that, before we drive all the way out to the theater, maybe we should check just to see if, there's seats available. And we checked up until
all the
like,
way out to the theater. Which theater are you going to? The theater is like 2 minutes from your house.
Well, St. Charles. I go over the bridge if I'm going to go see a movie drunk. I don't...
Oh, to white people land. Okay. White people land.
Got all
so
the way up
to... racist. You are a racist, goddammit. You drive to the white theater.
Well, drunk, apparently not, because all of the screenings up till like 3:30 were all completely sold out. I don't know what is going on, but.
Was it busy?
You know, not really, Brett.
Do you think it's a ploy?
Do you think it's a trick? You think they're tricking me?
Yes.
No, the theater needs to make their money. There's no way.
Well, I'm not saying they didn't sell other tickets, but I'm not saying that a company didn't buy them so that it wasn't. Actually, the theater wasn't actually full.
Like the Koch brothers bought all the tickets to make sure that the country's brothers. Yeah, to make sure everybody knows that the country's not racist.
To circle back to Drunk's point about driving to the white theater. The only theater close to us is at like an abandoned mall.
Oh, it's not abandoned, and that theater's just fine.
Drunk, what's in that mall, Drunk? Cabela's and...
I think the company I work for pulled out of that mall. Seriously.
There's a Ross in there. There's a...
A Ross Dress for Less?
Mattress.
You know that Ross Dress for Less?
A couple Italian leather joints.
What's so funny about that Ross?
The places that are still laundering money are there.
Cashing.
That Ross Dress for Less is like the most expensive thing in that Ross Dress for Less is like $18. And every time you go into Ross Dress for Less, there's like four armed security guards pacing the building, like just circling around, eyeballing everybody, and the same guy will say how you doing to you like six times in the time that you're in there.
Hey, you're already dressing for less. They want to make sure you're not taking advantage of them in other ways.
That Ross Dress for Less is like the basketball yard in a prison. They let you play your basketball, but you better not make a run for it because they're ready. They're ready with their batons if you try running out with a outdated 4-year-old pair of $20 Jordans.
Doesn't matter. They got rubber bullets. You just be like The Rock and Fate of the Furious and just like stand up and make comments about how they shouldn't be using rubber bullets.
Brett, the last time I went to the Ross Dress for Less, they had a pair of golden Converse. They were like a metallic gold.
Did you try them on?
I didn't. I regret it every day, Brett. Every day I look down at my shoes and I say, God damn it, I should have bought those sneakers.
You got to start saying yes. I let my daughter have a face painter paint my face like a panda the other day.
The answer is just
for the story.
Probably awesome, too.
The answer is
you just say yes.
So you got like 3 stray dogs on your street, and they're pretty big. I was a little fearful.
Oh, is it that white dog?
A white one, yeah, a black just, and white one.
That's a neighborhood dog. He just runs around.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots of abandoned dogs, lots of abandoned cats. None of the cats have tails. They just
lots of
run.
Abandoned houses, mostly.
They're going to get tumors and die soon, Drunk. They're smaller than us.
So where should we move?
I don't know.
Come up here, man. Nothing's going on at all. You won't have to worry about sewage like atomic dumps.
Is this
also
part of our is this part of our alliance? We're going to move together?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. How about like there's plenty of cheap real estate. You guys will be able to find amazing houses for a reasonable price.
I feel like at this point in my life, if I'm moving, I'm moving to a marijuana legal state.
Hey, we're getting there.
Brett, in the chat room, Jody B wants to know if you will do his show on Sunday morning. Again, Jody B is booking his podcast
in our chat.
In our chat.
Like I have something.
This is like the third time that he's done that.
Brett, do you have more questions? You said you had questions.
Yes. Yeah, which character – this is a question for all of you individually. Which character from the Revenge of the Nerds show or movies would you be?
The one that's not quite the nerd, but he has no friends, so he has to hang out with the nerds.
About to say, I think Mike would be the Anthony Edwards character because he's kind of like the leader, right?
Yeah.
I'm not overly familiar with the cast of The Revenge of the Nerds.
And really?
Yeah.
I guess I would be Booger.
Nice. I could see that.
You know the street value of this mountain?
If you guys were a cheerleader, where would you be in the proverbial pyramid?
I would not be a top guy because I'm a heavier fella.
You're a bottom.
But I don't really want to be a bottom either because I don't want people to be standing on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I probably just wouldn't be a cheerleader, Brett.
Yeah, I didn't make the team. They wouldn't let me.
Would you be one of the young ladies on the side holding the D or the section of fence?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's funny you mentioned that. while in high school, I was the mascot.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Drunk was the star, mascot? Brett.
The star. I was the star man.
Was it a cat?
No, it was a fucking star.
Oh, a star. Not, you were not just the star of the show.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought, that's what I thought too, that you were the star, not a star.
Our logo was the star. So I was a star.
Drunk was the star, man.
So I would probably be in the mascot costume doing the flips and the toe touches and the.
Did you do toe touches?
I did.
Is there video of you as the star? Is there anything that I can see of your days as a mascot?
I have a picture somewhere. I'd have to dig it up.
You know, last week after the show, Brett, Drunk told me that him and Paul, our former co-host, were a rap group who performed at a wedding.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Yes, yes.
What did you call yourselves?
We were Caucasian Invasion.
Oh. And I asked Drunk if he could perform his rap songs. And he was dead serious. He said to me, he said, well, I have to go home and see if I can find my beat CD.
Well, I'm not doing it without the beats. So.
Is there recordings though? Like, could you just play get us a track to play on the show?
We played at a wedding. We never actually did any studio work though.
But you didn't even record your wedding set?
Somebody has it on their phone somewhere, but
you
how old
gotta
is that
get
phone?
That. We have to hear that. Like, now, I don't even want to hear you do it live on the show. I want to hear that wedding performance.
Now, yes. Travis, now this is the weird thing. This is the 341st episode of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Hey, we're always discovering.
Travis, how in the hell has it taken this long to find out that Drunk had a whole separate rap career before?
Oh, man.
Well, I figured Paul might... I think Paul said something to it before. I bet you go back to the 100s or in the pre-100s.
We're always discovering things about each other, though. Like, you just found out, within the last year of my extreme love of Justin Timberlake, there's a lot of things that we discover about each other in this show organically.
You made a movie where you were a cross-dresser.
Yeah, it's called Queens in Space, the sequel.
And you flew around in a shoe.
We get our hands on that.
It was for my love of the movie Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Nice.
It irritates me that we have all these things and, you know, we don't capitalize on them. Like why is... Why is Travis's crossdresser movie not on the YouTube, Drunk? Why do I not have pictures of you as the star up on our website to get people to go? I feel like a lot of this is our fault.
Where's our set of Caucasian Invasion at the Norman, you know, Norman and Judy's wedding?
You know, Travis,
Judy,
I had a brief rap career where I went out into the world, and I recorded several tracks. I had a song called Ride the Fire Truck. And
that sounds good.
That was pretty much it. I just said Ride the Fire Truck a lot.
Hey, that's, you'd fit right in on current top 40 radio.
Anyway, yeah.
And I had a MySpace page for my Ride the Fire Truck song. And people would go visit it, you know, back in the day, you know, my top eight, they all went and saw my Ride the Fire Truck. And, you know, They invited me to perform at the Creepy Crawl. I got an email from the Creepy Crawl. It said, hey, you know, I think your music would be a good fit for, you know, a performance here. But I didn't have the balls. See, now if I had taken Brett's philosophy.
Oh, you could have been a superstar.
Being
by now.
A yes man.
You could have been Pitbull before Pitbull existed.
You know, Brett, you should be like a motivational speaker.
I've thought about it.
You know, the thing about being a motivational speaker is I think that the best way to get motivated would be to be a motivational speaker.
You're absolutely right. But because, I hate suits and ties. I think you have to wear a suit and a tie.
No, bullshit.
Seriously.
No.
I don't think, does Tony Robbins doesn't always wear a suit and tie, does he?
Yeah, you be the cool motivational speaker that doesn't wear the suit and the tie, that just goes up there in a track suit. And tells people that their life is garbage. See, but
yeah, you're more accessible that way.
If you were a motivational speaker, I feel like it would make you more motivated so that you have that panic in the back of your mind, you know, that you'll be seen as a fraud if you're not constantly motivated.
Right.
You know,
I agree with you. I honestly feel like I have to get up in the morning and shower and get dressed for the day, even though I only walk into my basement to go to work.
Fear is that wolf chasing you.
If I'm sweatpants crazy, I'm not getting much done.
Yeah. So you got to put on like, you know, a pair of jeans that show off your bulge.
Right.
But then, you know, you're not going full suit and tie, but you are, you know, conveying an image.
I feel like if a meeting broke out, I would be prepared.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should transition to now that, you know, we're in a
shirt and tie guys.
No, motivational. Mm. Look, I think we can do it. I think that if
you don't even have to believe your own advice.
No.
You just have to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You have to sell the sizzle.
You have to say it. And then if you say it long enough and like that's what you put out into the world.
Yes.
You'll start to be it, right?
Well, you're essentially a pitch man then. You're just a pitch man. You're like a Billy Mays or
I say things partner. That work all the time that I don't 100% buy into, but I say it because people believe it.
I do constantly. You have to.
Sick. I think I've heard you say it on here. The team, like calling, referring to a group of people as a team. I fucking hate saying that.
Me too. You gotta constantly do it. We're all in this together and we all have our parts to play. And it's like, you're speaking directly to one guy who's fuck up and not pulling his weight, but you have to address everybody in a positive way. Oh God, I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, like a baseball player doesn't just go pick up a bat and he's really good at baseball. I mean, he might be okay at baseball, but you got practice all the time.
Hold on. Where are we? Are we in Waterford, Michigan, or are we in Haiti? What are we talking here?
Yeah, Haiti is natural shit. Like, right. They're just cranking
them up a bamboo, a palm frond, and they can hit a baseball out of the park.
And let's be honest, they're hitting tin cans because there's no baseballs around there.
Right.
So you're saying you could be the best baseball player in Haiti just by being able to connect with the ball?
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
No, I'm talking about like anybody who gets to the top has to practice a bunch. It has to get really good at what they do. They might have some natural talent, but they still got to try really hard. It doesn't just come super easy. So you just put out into the world, I'm a motivator now. And that'll motivate you.
You've heard how I sound, right?
What are you saying? You think you weren't born with the gift
of motivational speaking?
Yeah. See, Drunk, that's just making excuses. Really, we don't make excuses on this show anymore.
Emphasize some syllables a little. Just change the emphasis on a few syllables. Your voice is fine. It's just the emphasis.
Yeah, you change the emphasis on a couple of syllables, Drunk.
All you have to do is be excited that you're telling people this stuff. It's like you have these secrets. And these people want these secrets, and you're the only one that can tell them these secrets. You have to be excited because you're the only one with this information. You're the only one that can help these people achieve their hopes and dreams and get to their goals in a record amount of time. And you have the information for them to be able to do that, and you want to bring it. You want them to take it home and share it with their friends and their family.
Drunk, read that, but do it enthusiastically.
Make your life a masterpiece. Imagine no limitations on what you can be, have, or do.
No, Drunk.
Okay, no, don't read it, though. You can't read it. You have to say it.
You say it, mean it. Because if people don't believe that you mean it, you're a fraud man. Drunk, your integrity is important to you, isn't it?
The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing.
Fuck yeah!
There it is. Hit it again. Hit that one again. Give it one more time.
Do it again!
The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing.
Yeah!
Now feel it. Do it again. Feel it! You know it. You do it. Feel it.
The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing.
Quit talking and do it! Woo!
Who wrote that?
Walt Disney.
Walt Disney, right. Apparently.
And Walt Disney, he got some shit done.
You lose the word begin. Start doing. No one says begin doing. Start doing.
Do it.
Then you have to say I'm paraphrasing Walt Disney as opposed to quoting him. And then people are like, why are you paraphrasing? Just say what he said.
Just say what he said.
Right. They talk different in the 20s and the 30s and whatnot.
That's true.
That was from last week is cryogenically frozen head. getting to the secretary.
That was in the new Walt Disney fortune cookies, actually.
Right.
So, Brett, what do you think? Do you feel motivated? Do you feel like we've restored your spirit? Do you feel
yes,
creatively full?
I feel good.
Did we rub off on you?
I had another question. I was at the grocery store tonight with the children's, and I noticed that they sell unsalted tortilla chips. Who's buying unsalted tortilla chips?
Fucking assholes. Yeah.
People that have a problem
with fuckheads. Yeah.
Yeah, but shouldn't they just not be buying tortilla chips?
Probably. You want to dip sometimes. I mean, people like guacamole.
Yeah, but you can make kale chips.
Nobody wants to eat fucking kale.
Or pita chips.
Pita chips.
None of those things go well with guacamole as well as like a tortilla does.
Yeah, a salted tortilla.
Yeah, man, I go with the hint of lime or the hint of jalapeno. I don't know about these unsalted things.
The lime. I do like the lime. So that you said something, Travis. Queso or guacamole?
See, it depends on my mood, but if you're going to offer them to me and you say I have to pick, I'd say guacamole.
Yeah, I'd go a queso. I like a spinach artichoke.
Oh, spinach artichoke.
Okay, that's a whole different thing, though. You can't even put that in the same.
I like my queso to be blanco. If it's the white one, I like that. The yellow, not so much.
You know, Brett's been asking a lot of questions, but I do have a question for you, Travis.
Yeah.
Would you like to form an alliance?
I mean, do I have to do a lot of heavy lifting or anything?
No.
And yeah, of course I do.
If we're together, we can team lift, and then it won't be as big of a stress on either one of us.
I mean, yeah, but that's just like being a pallbearer, where you sometimes still have to like
the three of us could be a strong alliance for sure.
Well, we got to be now, drunk.
Yeah,
done with that guy.
That guy
done. Unfriended him on Facebook. Well, you know what's funny? Done with him.
The only reason that I like tuned in on the phone. And I was actually a couple minutes late is because I thought you were going to have another mic rant because
– Another breakdown?
Because all this really happened like 15 minutes before the show started.
I mean, do you have any arguments in his defense, Drunk? I mean, I guess ultimately it's a team decision.
So the last time I was, you know, it's Napier. But this time, like, how can you flake that bad? Like, that's uber flake.
Well, and it's like, you know, a week after or a couple weeks after the whole thing. And it's like, I have no interest in changing.
Well, because he said like last week he was going to come and he was still on board like all week. And then 15 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to watch movies with my wife.
Don't want to do it anymore. Just don't want to.
You're almost like a battered wife that's finally coming out of it. Like I can do this.
It's like that
him.
Jennifer Lopez movie, Enough, you know? I feel like I'm Jennifer Lopez drunk.
You can come out of it.
Yeah. I don't want to do it anymore. I just don't want to. We're fine. The show's been fine. And if you don't think the show's fine, I'm sorry, but we'll figure something else out. Pardon our dust.
You know, we're remodeling.
Yeah, we're remodeling. Pardon our dust. Guys, message us if you'd like to form an alliance. We got a call, Travis, the other day. They didn't leave a message, but I have a pretty good feeling they were in traffic. So if you're in traffic, guys, that offer still stands. You give us a call, you let us know about the traffic. We'd love to hear about it.
Please do. I mean, what's going through your head while you're sitting in traffic? What are you doing? What are you listening to? Are you reading something? Are you hearing some audiobook? Is Gary Oldman reading you something?
In front of you have a vanity plate.
Oh, here's what you
should
say?
Be
doing.
You should be going clever? Back and listening to some OG WFO Dicks.
Drunk.
Are we going to have a dress code or a uniform in this alliance at all?
Brett, I want you to be
tank
comfortable.
Tops only.
I want you to be comfortable, Brett, but I don't want you to be like obscene, you know. Don't come with your shit hanging out. But yeah, no, I'd say business casual maybe. No, perfect. Not even business casual.
Just jeans and a sweatshirt maybe?
Don't dress like a garbage person, Brett.
Walmart
represent
casual.
The brand well. You know what I'm saying?
On. So I can't wear sweatpants because I love sweatpants.
Are they nice sweatpants?
I think they are.
Do they have paint on them?
No.
I've just discovered this last year the joys of wearing track pants
like the swooshy pants.
Wearing them, like, you know, yeah, like workout pants, like those, like track pants, like wind pants, like awesome. I had a pair specifically for the gym when I used to go to the gym like 14 years ago, but I threw them on and just like wore them around all day with a sweatshirt. And I was like, holy fuck, why doesn't everybody just wear these? This is the best thing that ever happened. So I've been putting.
So Travis, yeah. would you say that that is your pick of the week?
No, Travis's pick of the week for this week is the Hack/ Omnibus Volume 1, written and created by Tim Seeley. It follows Cassie Hack, who is the victim. She was the lone survivor, the final girl, if you will, of a slashing attack, which is actually was done by her mother, dubbed the Lunch Lady. She was actually the one who had to kill her mother, and because of this trauma, she goes across country with her giant henchman Vlad and kills slashers across the country, hunts them out and takes them out. And moves on to the next one. So, Hack/ Omnibus, Volume 1, Tim Seeley.
Drunk, do you have a pick of the week?
Well, last week I said it was going to be the Olympics and Big Brother, but my pick of the week, the Powerball is nearing $300 million. Go out there and get yourself a Powerball ticket, and if you win, donate me some money.
You know,
hey, good luck, everybody.
The Powerball being $300 million... Why do you not go get Powerball tickets when it's like $50 million? I'd love $50 million.
Well, I'm not saying that I wouldn't. I'd really love $300.
I think it's just the thought of it, because then if you buy one ticket for $300 million, like the sky's the limit, you can just imagine what you would like. $50 million, yeah, that's great, but I mean, it's always like $50 million, so why bother? But when it's like so high.
Are you worried about the amount of people that say that it absolutely ruins their life?
Yeah, I would never want to actually win it. What I would be super, super comfortable with is like a tax-free $250,000 would be perfect.
I feel like I'm still at an age where I can take the 20-year payout, so I don't think it would ruin me.
Sure.
Brett?
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Guys, if you want to check out Brett's podcast.
Brett, if you had a pick of the week.
I'm going to, for fuck's sake! I'm not just getting off the Apple truck here, drunk.
All right.
I was going to plug Brett's show.
Fair enough.
Okay. You find it at brettandadam.com, Hot Butter Podcast on Napier. I'm sorry I yelled at you, buddy. Did I call you Napier?
You did call me Napier.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. It's already happened.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit. Where can they find you on the Twitters there?
Man, that was some... That was some Freudian shit.
Low blow, Mike. Low blow.
Drunk, I'm sorry I called you Napier. I'm now not sorry I yelled at you.
RedNatum.com, Hot Butter Podcast. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Well, I got rid of the Hot Butter Podcast Twitter, so it's 1T Brett, WONETEEBRET. That's me personally. We still have the Hot Butter Pod. No, I don't think I have the Hot Butter Podcast Instagram either. Yeah, see, I deleted everything. I gave up 100%. Oh. I committed.
Napiered social media.
I did.
So, Brett, would you say you have a pick of the week?
Yes. The Netflix original show Grace and Frankie about an elderly – oh, God, that's terrible. An older couple who end up getting divorced because their husbands are actually secret gay lovers. It's Martin Sheen and oh, God, Sam Water something, and Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. Great show. Good writing. Very funny show.
Did Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin become gays together then?
No, but they sort of move in together, and they live their life, you know, as recently sort of divorced older ladies.
Sounds good. Mike, do you have a pick of the week?
Guys, I'm going to a rock and roll concert on Thursday. I'm going to see
the Smashing Pumpkins.
No, I'm going to see the band Walk the Moon. I don't actually give a shit about Walk the Moon, but the band opening for them is a band called Company of Thieves. They broke up a long time ago because they had a gal lead singer, and she wanted to go solo, and I guess that didn't work out. So they're back together. They have a couple new songs out, pretty good. So my pick of the week is the band Company of Thieves, their new... Yeah.
So is Walk the Moon, is that the four people, one guitar?
Shut Up and Dance With Me, that's the Walk the Moon. Shut Up and Dance With Me.
Gotcha. So the band Mike is talking about in their new music, just listen for the dudes who put their dicks between their legs and welcomed that broad back with open arms because nothing was happening for them.
Guys, we'll be back next week. We appreciate all of you. Pardon our dust. It might get weird for a while, but, you know, what are you going to do?
We assure you we're open.
Guns out, phones out.
Brett.
Yes.
Brett.
Mike.
I just saw your text message, Brett.
I wondered if you got it.
Oh, wow. Brett,
yeah, so,
Brett sent me
so here's the deal.
Oh.
My, those people live just down the cul-de-sac from me.
Wow. That's the daughter, huh?
That's the daughter. And I saw, they came over for a party at our house right after we moved in. And then she asked to be my friend, the mom, who's my neighbor, asked to be my friend on Facebook. And while there, I saw her wish her daughter, Natalie, a happy birthday. And I was like, oh, I didn't know she had a daughter. So I go to her daughter's Facebook page and I'm like, holy shit. I've seen her fingering herself on the internet.
Oh, wow.
And but I couldn't remember her name. I had to go searching for it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's a good find.
So that's your neighbor?
That's my she grew up
drunk. I don't think we're supposed to say all that. We're trying to be discreet. Oh, here's her with a wiener in her mouth, drunk. That's her with a wiener in her mouth.
So she grew up right down the street from me, but her parents still live there. She doesn't live there anymore.
She posts that picture of that wiener in her mouth quite a bit.
Like I said,
is
my
it
wife
the same wiener post. Every time.
Oh my god, that's her butthole, drunk. Look, that's her butthole.
That is her butthole.
Drunk, that's her butthole. She's spreading out her butthole,
so
you can look at it.
Do you, so here's the million
know,
dollar
do you know
question.
You know what site she's on?
It's glistening.
It's
not our sponsor, it's Cam Soda.
Yeah, don't bring bleep that out of
yeah,
the show.
You guys, be sure to go to camsoda.com/podcast.
Hey, you might find your neighbor's daughter on camsoda.com.
Lots of amateurs on there, a whole wall of them.
But here's the
digital strip.
This is a huge thing for me to have to keep inside. Like,
Brett, it is. I can't even imagine.
My wife.
It's pretty amazing.
Brett, when I was in high school, me and my friend Bobby, we were at the very last bus stop and there wasn't enough seats. And so, me and him had to get on and get somebody, to go three deep on a bus seat. Mm-hmm. And they hated us because we were kind of dorky guys. And nobody wanted to go three deep to let us sit next to him. And there was one gal is at the bus stop before us, who was kind of a pretty gal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember her name for the life of me, but years later, my friend Bobby, he let me know that she had a picture in FHM magazine, and we went down to the bookstore and we both bought a copy of FHM magazine, and we were so excited that the gal that we sometimes sat three deep on the bus next to was in FHM magazine in a bikini. And I mean, that wasn't even somebody we ever had a conversation with. It's not somebody that, we even really knew anymore, but we just knew somebody in FHM magazine. It was a fucking thrill, Brett. It was a fucking thrill. I can't even imagine what you're going through.
Well, my problem is I haven't told my wife that I know that, because I'm afraid that if we're ever at a neighborhood party and she's here visiting her parents, there's going to be this incredibly awkward thing where if I look at her for too long, my wife's going to think I'm getting boner.
Right. Yeah. And she's going to know you've seen her naked.
Right. Yeah. I've seen
that's
her
never. That's like never a good situation.
See, now the weird thing is like I'm kind of excited by this gal just because I know somebody who knows her.
But I don't. I know her parents.
See, it's
so you've never met her.
That's fine.
Oh. It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever.
You can follow her on Snapchat. Snap. Oh, yeah. I'm going to follow her.
I don't know, man. What do I do?
Brett.
Well, at least
keep it to yourself. Let it fester until it explodes and gives you some kind of weird health problems,
stomach cancer.
Yeah.
At least we could be your outlet, and that you could at least tell somebody about it.
Oh, there are people that know.
Share your confessions with us.
Not the woman I live with.
That's what this show is going to be.
Leave us a voicemail.
Motivational and confessional.
Are you in traffic? Are you in traffic? Do you have some thoughts?
Tell us about the traffic and your confessions.
Thanks for sharing that with me,
Brent. Have a confession.
I'm going to follow on Snapchat.
I don't have Snapchat.
Travis, you should get it. It's fun. You can make yourself a little bunny face and talk in a squeaky voice.
Instagram does that now.
I just don't like – I mean, it makes people look more attractive, and then you see what they actually look like, and you're like, what the fuck?
Guys,
I'm not a fan of that. It's like stuffing your bra.
The show was over.
All right, I got to go watch Big Brother.
What is all this? This is like
I got to give a deposition tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. Wait, you do?
Yes.
You to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Guys, thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. You can join us live this and every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com, and be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. Friends of ours, you can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at wfodicks.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. You can email us, Mike at WFODix, or Travis at WFODix, if you have anything to let us know about, something you liked, something you didn't. You know, whatevs. Or you can give us a call, 636-487-HAND, either while we're live or when we're not live. You can leave us a message. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon contributors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, and Harry Balls Anya. If you'd like to contribute to the Patreon, it's patreon.com/WFODix. Again, thank you very much for checking out the program. Tell a friend. Share our links on things. Yeah, great. Thanks again.
Everything eventually comes to an end.